Every year, at the beginning of the year, we've been doing, for the past 5 years, a theme. This year's God's Amazing Grace. We're not going to preach through three sermons. We're not going to just now walk on and forget it. We're going to keep presenting a God's Amazing Grace. I've enjoyed hearing different stories from all of you, how the Lord is changing in your life and how He is making Himself known to those around you, whether it's through you or sometimes in spite of us, but I really thank the Lord in His amazing grace, okay? So we're going to keep that going, but last week we started talking about serving in and through the local church. Once again, that's something that we always try and talk about at the beginning of the year. We start a new year. Our nominating committee is on the move, filling different offices, and there are different opportunities that are always available in a church such as ours that has got ministry happening and going on, okay? We also like to look at how to recognize leadership in the church. Ever since I've come, that's what I try and do as that nominating committee is kicking off. And when we're talking leadership in your church, we're talking elders, deacons, and deaconesses. There's other leaders in the church, to be sure. The committee members, the one who are leading different ministries, and all that is true. But I like to focus on how to choose this level of leadership, the elders, deacons, and deaconesses, because if we don't choose well, we're in trouble, right? So I like to help us understand that. So today we're going to talk about recognizing the leaders of the church, okay? Now I'm going to get scolded, but last week I went a little long, so I'm going to work really hard not to let that happen, okay? When we want to talk about recognizing the leaders of the church, we need to understand that we're talking about character. Not necessarily position in life, though often good character puts us in a position in which we have an opportunity to be a leader by example. The main place we want to look at is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. We'll look there in just a little bit. That's not where we're going to start. But verses 1 through 7 talk about an elder, and they give elder qualifications. Then verses 8 through 13 give some deacons and then some deaconess qualifications. Those are character qualities, not a situation in life. It's more than just what we look like. It's more who we are in here. We have a core value. To mature in Christ is a choice believers must make every day. And that is core value number 5. Okay? When we talk about the qualifications for elders, deacons, and deaconesses, I want to be sure that our church doesn't understand their only job is to stand back here and to pick and choose and judge whether these people fit the role. Because do you understand 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13? It's the goal of everybody in the church. Elders are gender specific. They're men. Okay? According to verse 1 of chapter 3. But we don't get the privilege of sitting in a chair going, do you measure or do you not? Your first measure is, am I growing in Christ? Am I moving towards this character? And then you're choosing people who are going to lead in that example. So the outline is today. The elders lead the body, the deacons serve the body, and then the body affirms its leadership. I'm going to use the term deacons rather than go deacons, deaconesses, because it kind of gets laborious, okay? So when I say the term deacons, I am referring to that whole committee. So we want to start there about the elders lead the body. They lead the body, all right? So look at letter A. Here's the first way in which they lead. And this needs to be in place. They lead by example. They lead by example. They don't lead because they have a position. They don't lead because they're smarter than some. They don't lead because they know how to handle money. They don't lead because, and we could go off. They lead because they're leading by example. And there's some areas that I want us to see. If you're in 1 Peter chapter 5, that would be a good place to start, because that's where I want to go to begin with this. So in verses 2 through 4, Peter is writing, and he started in verse 1. He says, as an elder just like you, then he comes to verse 2. He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. not greedy for money or gain, I put or gain in there myself, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The first thing I want us to notice in here, whose flock is North Mason? It's the congregation's flock, right? It's the elders' flock, right? It's the pastor's flock, right? God's flock. And never forget it. It is God's flock. The local church was God's idea. The local church is something that God really glories in. Paul, in Ephesians 3, pointed that out. The manifold wisdom of God is made known through his church, and he's speaking about the local church. Manifold, meaning many-colored, many-facet, just a huge array of goodness. It is God's flock, and he intended to use the church even before the beginning of the world. But notice it says, be shepherds. You know what a shepherd is, right? Have you ever watched a real shepherd work with his sheep? I don't mean a guy that's in a truck and has them all in one pasture, but I mean a shepherd who is really working and living with his sheep. I've watched a guy in the Sierra Nevadas, and it was really fun, and he was just really intimate with his sheep. He had a sheepdog, and that dog was really intimate with him too. But it was really fun to watch him care and love for his sheep. Really involved. A shepherd is one who protects, one who guides, and one who watches over. That's the role of a shepherd. That's the role that Peter is proclaiming for the elders, okay? Their job is to guide, to protect, and to watch over the flock. We'll flesh that out in just a little bit. But notice it says they need to be eager to serve. In fact, it talks about serving twice, which is a great emphasis. Eager to serve. Someone who is eager to serve. Okay, sometimes being an elder is tough work. And you may not like to do the hard thing, but you do it because you love the Lord and you love his people. Okay? What I want to point out here, there are some who are eager to exploit. These are false teachers. And you find them often in the New Testament, in the Old Testament as well. But in the New Testament, related to the local church. And Paul is going to warn in Acts chapter 20 when we get there here in a little bit. But he's talking about those false teachers and what their job is to work to gain influence within the body. A good shepherd, God's kind of guy, their job is to work to honor the Lord. It's not influence that your board is after. It's your care. It's your protection. It's to keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus and not the trivial little things that really pick a church apart, but to keep us focused on the Lord. One last thing to say in here. How do you do this? First of all, as leaders, we're to be examples. Examples of growing. Not examples of perfection, because even Peter and Paul and the rest could not accomplish that. But examples of growing. Look at letter B. They practice God's word. All right? And I'm just going to read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You're pretty familiar with it. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So how does one become thoroughly equipped to do the good work that God, through Christ, intended us to do? And that's by being in the Word. So just three things to mention here. Those who are in leadership, they value God's Word. It's not something they do occasionally. It's not something they only do in a particular place. It's something that just encompasses their heart. It's more than knowing Scripture, but it's applying it into their life so that it is critical and important in their life. It bears in all decisions. It bears in all things that they involve themselves with, individually, with their family, with their church, with the board. But they value God's Word. It's critical. They also study God's Word. If you're going to value it, you're going to want to know what it says. And a good leader is not one who studies so they have all of the facts laid out. That's important. But they study God's word so they get to know God better. And so they get to know Jesus better. So they get to know the power of the Holy Spirit better. So that they can honor the Lord better. Then the last thing, number three, they practice God's word. Or you can put obedience in there. All right? It's really foolish to have a leader in your church who just knows God's word but doesn't do it. We need to be obedient. And so your leadership should value, should study, and should practice God's word. Letter C. They protect God's people. This is really important. By the way, most of Paul's letters, even Peter's, they're written for an occasion. And most often the occasion is there's somebody sneaking in and who is adding to the gospel, changing the gospel, negating the gospel. They're coming in and through teaching and stuff, they're trying to lure people away. Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 20? The Apostle Paul here in Acts 20 is leaving the church of Ephesus. And as he's leaving, he is giving instructions to the elders of the church. Who leads the church? Paul doesn't go to the church and tell them to lead themselves. He goes to the elders. And he says, this is what you ought to do. So starting in verse 28, it reads like this. Somewhere. There it is. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds. Sounds like Peter, doesn't it? Be shepherds of the church of God. Again, it's God's flock. Which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. By the way, that is the mark of a false teacher. It's not what they teach. It's their desire to draw people away from the truth and from God's people. It goes, so be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. So some things to mention here. First of all, Paul is challenging them to protect the flock. Notice Paul says, when I go, I know some savage wolves are coming in. That means Paul has stood the course and kept them at bay. And now he's hoping these elders will do the same thing. Savage wolves is the way they're described. And they draw away disciples. When you look at verses 29 and 30, that's what they're marked as doing. They're drawing away. Hey, it's better over here. Let's go over here. Whatever it might be. The elders are to protect the flock. And they do so first and foremost by this, their example. By their example. Not the example of perfection, but an example that says, let's live this way. And they're calling you to live the way of the Lord by how they choose to live with God's word, obedience and value and study. But they're also to protect with sound teaching. And they're also to protect with confrontation. If I were the shepherd and you were an actual flock of sheep and a wolf walked into the middle of you and I say, I don't want to get involved. Okay, how many sheep am I going to have left? Shepherds tell me that sometimes a wolf will get in and they just kill sheep to kill sheep. They start getting into a frenzy and they have fun. Right? Sometimes that pastor, your elder board, has to step in and it's a confrontation. It's hard for them. Sometimes it's hard for all of us. But when they do, and they're men of character, living by example, they're there to protect God's flock. Did you know that a wolf will carry off their victims, go eat them over there so they're not disturbed maybe by other wolves? Wolves sometimes wear sheep's clothing. We know that. One of my favorite cartoons as a kid, and I think I've told you this, you got the sheepdog, right? And you got the guy, looks like the Wile E. Coyote to me, but I think he's supposed to be a wolf just emaciated because he's really hungry because he never wins. It's really fun. They come walking in and they both punch the time clock. Hey, Ralph. Hey, Fred. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they wait and the whistle blows and now they're on the job, right? And that wolf is always trying to sneak off with the sheep and that sheepdog is always one step ahead. You know, pound it. It's just like the Wile E. Coyote thing. By the way, that is a picture of what a shepherd is. That's a picture of what an elder is. That's a picture of your leadership taking care of you. We take care of you by our example. We take care of you by teaching God's word well. And then we take care of you when there's a need we're not afraid to confront. By the way, if you notice in here, in Acts chapter 20, 28 to 31, it talks about those wolves that will come in from the outside. All right? There's a lot of that. A lot of that is pretty obvious when they walk in. Sometimes they come in sheep's clothing. That's why we're going to the book of Galatians starting next week, right? But then he also talks about, but beware of those who come from within. Sometimes that false teacher and they're in need for influence, they sway somebody to think differently without looking at the facts, without understanding God's love and God's grace. And that can be one of the hardest kind of wolves to struggle with because we have an affinity to them, but they mean to hurt. And your elders got to step in. So Paul is warning about that. So the elders lead. I kind of finished there talking about protection, but it's really crucial. Okay? Now we want to talk about the deacons and their role. And we're doing pretty good on time. Their role. The deacons serve the body. That does not mean that the elders don't. Your elders are to serve. Remember it said eagerly. But there is a difference. You can't have elders and deacons and they all do the same thing. That's duplication. So the deacons are there to help assist in some ways, and let's talk about that. Hopefully you're in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. In Acts chapter 6, the church is new. It's this baby. It's learning to walk. All right? They don't have any leadership structure other than these apostles. And as they're cruising along, in Acts chapter 6, we see the division of some leadership, not in a negative sense, but to be able to encompass, because the numbers were growing greatly. I mean, the first day, right after Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter spoke and 3,000 people joined the church, and it says every day people were added. All right. So here, there's a need for leadership. Leadership is not an evil thing. It's God instituted. It's important. Human nature is the evil thing. All right? And so what happens is they're going to separate, and it looks like elders and deacons and deaconesses. So if you look at chapter 6 of Acts, in verses 1 and 2, it reads like this. The Grecian Jews, that just means those who are very Greek in their orientation. The Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. You need to understand in the context of this time, if you're a Christian, guess what? It's hard to find a job. It's hard to make it in society because you are looked negatively. Prejudice was extremely strong and acceptable. Okay? And that's what's going on. And so you had people who didn't have a way to make a living, so the church, by necessity, learned to be a covenant community and begin to help each other. It's not a welfare system in the broken sense. It's a welfare system in the way it should be, helping people who need a hand up and a way out. So that's what's going on. And it appears as though one set of Jews were getting a lot of help. By the way, it's in Jerusalem, so it's mainly Jewish people in the church at this time. And the other ones are getting slighted, they felt. And so they brought this up. So letter A. They model true service. That's at the heart of this. We're talking about serving tables. By the way, Stephen was one of these. And remember, he was known for being a good teacher of the word. So that doesn't mean a deacon cannot be a teacher of God's word. But their focus is on the physical needs. So the model of true service. Look at number one, by loving God. Number two, by loving others. Does that sound like a verse? By the way, we're putting this along with the deacons and the deaconesses. That doesn't mean that the elders are devoid of this. We talked about the same thing in a different way. But our favorite verse in here at North Mason is, love the Lord your God with your
heart
and your neighbor. That's what I'm trying to play out here. Our deacons there and deaconesses, their job is to exemplify this. How do you love God? Well, first of all, by valuing God's word. Second of all, by practicing God's word. And third, by serving God's people. So number two, by loving others. How do we do that? Value the fellowship of the body. One of the things that the deacon started this last year was, it was like in September, and I forget, we called it the Roundup, I think it was what it was called. And we had just a get-together saying, hey, summer's ended, fall's beginning, let's settle down, let's move forward. It was a kick of a time. That's the kind of thing that our deacons are involved in. I really appreciated that. And then they value serving the body. We'll explain that in just a little bit here. Look at letter B. They assist the elders. If you remember in Acts 6, it said, choose some quality people and have them serve the tables. Back in Acts chapter 6, verses 2, 3, and 4. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. It doesn't mean waiting on tables is less important. It just means if you wait on tables and forget God's Word, the church is going to go down the wrong path. You got to keep God's teaching and meet the needs. It goes on, we will turn this responsibility over them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. The deacons are to supervise the helping ministry. They're to free the elders to focus on the spiritual needs. That's why we have care groups, and each person in the church is assigned to a deacon and or deaconess, and they're to just be there to pray for you and encourage you. They keep an eye on our shut-ins. They keep an eye on those who get hospitalized. It doesn't mean your elders don't. That just means that's their main focus. Look at letter C. Not only do they assist the elders, but our job is to serve the Lord by serving you. And so letter C, they serve the family, the church family. Number one, there's three ways in which I think they should. Number one, with physical needs. They're to involve the body in caring for one another's needs. There might be somebody whose husband passed on and they can't keep the house kept up, and so the deacons find a way to help them do that. They've done this numerous times. Okay, and there's various other illustrations I can give, but sometimes to help those needs. By the way, they're not contractors, and so they're not there to jump at every little thing that we need, but they're there to help one another and encourage one another. The second thing is with financial needs. This is what we call the benevolence fund. My opportunity to say the basket back on the back table at the end of service, if you want to give to it, all the money goes to the deacons for this benevolence purpose. Their job is to help those within our church fellowship as well as those in the community. They have a stockpile of firewood, and they give firewood to people who use wood as a primary heat source, and they really can't afford it. They do some remarkable things. This is a way to demonstrate God's love. We don't take a pile of wood and put it at their doorstep and say, now you have to attend church this many times. We drop it at their doorstep, and we say, do you know Jesus? And it's an opportunity for them to hear the gospel, at least, to know what church we're from. To know what our focus is. It's an opportunity to share the gospel. Okay? We don't do benevolence to get them into church. We meet a real need so that we can share Christ and bring them to the Lord. Number three, they serve with emotional needs. They help the body care for itself. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to, I don't know, about 15, 16 there, it talks about how the body builds itself up. And their job is to be part of that process and helping us understand we need to care for one another. Not just in doing things for each other, but in forgiving one another and serving one another. Okay? Another thing that they can do is they can help the elders identify certain needs. There are times when people are having extra struggle in their life and they just don't tell the pastor or the elders because he's too busy, right? And then the deacons find something out, and they pass that message on so that we can step forward and meet those needs. So I've given you what the elder's job is, to lead the church, and what the deacon and deaconess's job is, and that's to serve the church. Now, number three, I want to talk about the body affirms its leaders. I don't use the word election. We took it all out of our bylaws and different things, because election is a good term, but what it really means in the political arena is you got this person campaigning against this person. We're in the midst of that now in our government, and it's just really fun to watch the nonsense, isn't it? Yeah. It's not going to happen here. We don't pit one person against another. If there's a position of elder, the nominating committee and the elders, they present a name. They don't put two names and say, vote for the best one, because that becomes not good. Okay, so we use the word affirm. So the nominating process is evaluating the different character of the people, whatever position they put them in, and the board gets to speak into that, and the names that you get have been thoroughly thought through and placed before you. And so your job would be, during that time, April 17 this year, you're to look at that, look at the qualifications, and say, Fred Flintstone is an example of what's to be expected. So here we want to talk about the body affirms its leadership. Look at letter A. What is the standard? The standard is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What is the authority, the final authority for what we believe and how we behave at North Mason Bible Church? It is the Bible. It is God's Word. That is the final authority. Okay? And we got to say, rightly divided, rightly studied, rightly understood. Okay? There's some other authorities in the church. You got your membership, those who are members. You've got elders. They're another authority. And the government is authority in many levels over the church. But the final one is God's Word. So when we look to find elders, deacons, and deaconesses, we look at the elder qualifications. That's in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. We also look at the deacon and deaconesses' qualifications. That's the same passage of Scripture, only verses 8 to 13. It's important that we choose people of character quality rather than just the position in life. So that's the standard. Now, April 17 is when we do the affirmation on the ballot, okay? I usually hand out how we understand the character qualities of elders, deacons, and deaconesses. We'll hand those out when the names are posted back there on March 20th, okay? Look at letter B. What's the process for you? Know the standard from God's Word. You got to understand what's going on in 1 Timothy 3. And then we'll give you some helps on March 20th to understand that. The next thing, evaluate the person's character. And then vote yes if they demonstrate the character. I'm not calling for perfection because the Bible doesn't. You know, there are many churches that if Peter, James, John, and Jesus were on the ballot to become elders, they probably would not get some votes. Because we expect some things that are not kind or fair, right? But if they demonstrate a character that is a good example to follow, that's what we do. By the way, when we vote for these leaderships, we're not voting for your friend. You're not voting for the best candidate. You're not voting for your representative on the board. After all, he'll push what I want. And you're not voting for the perfect person. You're looking for people who are demonstrating God's way of life. Look at letter C. Here's the result. So once we've done this whole process, once we put people in position, the result. Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be what? A joy. Did you know working with people sometimes is not a joy? Deborah has this coffee stand, right? She bought it from somebody else. And people are coming through with that other person's punch card, and they're upset that she won't honor that card. They didn't buy a lick of coffee from her, but they expect free coffee from her. And it's a challenge for her. It's sanctifying her. It's helping her grow up. But she's had people just say bad things and drive off. Okay? It's not a joy for her. That has passed. The transition's over. Sometimes being an elder, it's not that joyful. It goes on. Obey them so that their work will be joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to whom? Meaning you. Not so much you particularly, it includes you, but the whole church. So number one, the result is this. Follow their leadership. If we've done the right job, if they're displaying 1 Timothy character, they will lead well. Because God, in His grace, is making that an opportunity. But you also got to understand, allow for the human element. Allow for the human element. Did you know that people make mistakes? Including you. And sometimes your elders do. Sometimes your deacon and deaconesses do. And those of quality character will admit it and move on. But they don't need what goes on in the world today where somebody makes a mistake. And man, you just beat them to a pulp. That's not love. The second thing under here, good leaders are learning God's word. They're following God's word. They're praying for God's direction. And they're encouraging the body's involvement. By the way, that's what your elder board, your deacons and deacons do at North Mason. The Affirmation Sunday, the ballot, will be worked out on April 17th. That's the business meeting. We post the names that the nominating committee has come up with 4 weeks prior. So they will be posted on the 20th of March. At the same time, we'll make available those character qualities from 1 Timothy 3 for both elders, deacons, and deaconesses. They'll be out on the back table. Here's some applications for you. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How do we do that? Number one, protect the unity of the Spirit. Choose your leaders well, according to the things that we're talking about. Number two, protect the unity of the Spirit. Follow your leaders wholeheartedly. Trust them. Number three, protect the unity of the Spirit. Obey God's word always. Always. So I did pretty good. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your gift of leadership. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, 12, and 13. They talk about people who are a gift to the local church. I thank you that you have given wonderful, obedient leaders in my life as I was growing up. Thank you for loving the church intently, even though there are many Christians who don't love the local church. That's odd, since you do. Help us to really value your local church and do what we need to do to honor you. Help this church, help the leadership, help the membership, help us all to keep our hearts and minds focused on what's important, and that's our relationship with you, growing in Christ, winning souls for Christ. Help us to keep the petty little differences away. In Jesus' name, amen.